Hello, everybody, and welcome to a special episode of Books Unbound with your hosts, me, it's Ariel, and...
me, Raylene.
Woohoo! Hello. So, we have a special time today because, as I hope you know, Animal Crossing New Horizons just came out on Nintendo Switch. Raylene very appropriately did the praying sign because, thank God.
We all needed that.
Me and Raylene are really big into Animal Crossing, and I was looking for a video to make on my YouTube channel, and I had heard that there was an Animal Crossing book tag, so I started looking this up, and I was like, honestly, this would just be so much fun to do with Raylene, a fellow person who loves Animal Crossing,
oh man,
and
I
just
appreciate
as a special episode for the book, for the podcast. So yeah, here we are. So that's it. We're just going to answer a bunch of questions that are bookish, but kind of related to Animal Crossing. Before we do, I guess, actually, Raylene, I'd like to ask you what you named your town and how things are going and how you're enjoying the new game.
Okay, so I named my island.
Sorry, yes.
Not
island.
Town. My island, I named it Kohaku. Because amazing. I am Spirited Away trash. And every time I need to name something, I always go for Spirited Away or Name of the Wind references or like Orphan
Beautiful.
Black. Like those are like my top things that I'm like, I always pick. And it just felt right because it also sounds like an island. Like it sounds like a real island.
I thought it sounded kind of Hawaiian.
Yeah,
like
that's
a tropical
exactly
island.
What I was thinking.
Yeah.
So I just think that that's pretty cool.
I love that.
What were your second and third questions?
I think I just asked, like, how are you enjoying the game? How's your island going?
Okay, well, firstly, it is so beautiful. Like, it's more beautiful than I ever could have expected.
I agree.
After playing New Leaf for so long, it's just like, oh my God, this is so much more beautiful. And also, I love that you can change how your character looks. Like, because in the all other past games, the way you look is determined by the way you answer questions at the beginning of the game. And you don't, if you don't look up a cheat, like if you don't look up the table,
so
then
stressful.
You don't know what you're going to look like.
And then
so,
like months in, you get the salon and you're able to change stuff maybe, but it's still like, it's so much work.
I still don't have the salon on my New Leaf. Like, I don't know what I've been doing wrong, but I just don't have it. So I'm
but
like,
that's
well,
what I mean. Yeah.
I'm going to look like this forever.
Exactly. If you mess one little thing up. You, like, don't get to do it.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
So I'm really loving it. I also love how easy it is to move things around in your house because that's one of the most irritating things about Animal Crossing. Like, I feel
having
like
to push your furniture around. Oh,
and
my
you
God.
Can't fit. Yeah, I feel like they finally, like, the creators of the game have finally taken all the things that people have been complaining about and fixed them instead of just making it the same because I feel like the games have been pretty consistently the same for a long time in lots of ways, so I'm really excited. I haven't spent too much time playing it yet, so my island is still very basic, but I have peaches, which is really awesome.
I was going
to
say,
I need to get your oranges.
What are your fruits, and who are your original islanders, villagers?
Yeah, so my fruit that I have is peaches, but I did go to a couple of different islands and got pears and coconuts and... oh, crap. What was the other one I got? Cherries, I think. Yeah, so I have them planted. I'm going to have all the fruits until I decide how I want my island to look. Yep. And my two people are Axel and Renee, who is a horse. So that's a really funny name. Renee. And they're pretty cool. Although Axel is kind of like obsessed with working out, and so I don't really vibe with that. He's always like trying to tell me to work out, and I'm like, Axel, you need to chill. But it's fun. I like them. They're not the worst people I've ever had in my town, so I'll take
it. Yeah, I respect that. Oh, I just looked up Axel. It's an adorable elephant.
Yeah, he's very cute, and he has a weird smile. I love his smile.
Well, I guess to answer the same questions, I named my island Lentil Island
because
I thought that was funny and cute. Mm-hmm. Basically the same day that the day before Animal Crossing came out, I bought a plant. And I named that plant Lentil because I thought that was such a funny name for a plant.
Yeah.
And then I had to like, cause I got the name, the game at midnight. I was like trying to think of a name and I was like, Lentil. So my plant and my island have the same name.
That's so funny.
My original fruit, as you mentioned, is oranges, which I'm very happy with. I know that some people restarted their game to get their preferred fruit, which I totally respect that. But I was also like really not worried worried because you can just eventually get all of the fruit
anyway.
No,
exactly. I kind of like just living with what I was given, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I was like, no, these are my cards.
I'm not going to do any time traveling. I'm not going to jump around.
Yeah, that's a whole controversy.
Yeah, I do that a lot on my DS game, but I'm going to not do that this time because I want to live true life on the island.
I don't really care if people are time traveling. Like, play the game however you want to play it. If you want to time travel, live your dreams. But personally, the purity of the game for me is like having to wait and like
exactly
have to do the things and like
check in every day.
Yeah, certain things you wish would go faster, but that's just not Animal Crossing. Like,
no, that's
Animal
not
Crossing
real life. Animal
game.
Crossing is like real life, man. You gotta wait for stuff.
you gotta
even if it's only
raccoon.
One day to build an entire house, that
yeah
is pretty good.
That's pretty crazy. Yeah. So my original villagers were Pashmina, who is very cute but kind of mean, and Dom, who is a sheep, and he's, or the other one's a goat, but she, Dom is a sheep and he is also a jock, but I find the jocks really funny. And, like, they're always like,
yeah,
I gotta work out. And I'm like, no, you don't. You're a sheep.
Also, they're never actually working out. It's
right.
Just their persona.
Exactly. But now on my island, I also have three other villagers.
Whoa.
I have Cranston, who I am obsessed with. He is so funny. He's a lazy ostrich.
I love it.
And he's so cute and funny, and I love him. I also have Fauna, who's this adorable deer. I love her. She's beautiful.
Oh, she is beautiful.
So
I've seen her before.
She is so kind.
My friend would be so jealous knowing that you have her. She's like my friend's number one most wanted villager.
Yes. And then my third one is this girl I don't like. Her name is Bianca, and she moved into the island before I got to have any say in the matter, and I'm gonna try and kick her out.
Do it. Hit her with your net.
Yeah. But the villager I most want, there's two. It's Hamlet, which a couple of my friends have him. He's a jock hamster that I find hilarious, and a squirrel named Ricky. Those were the two villagers in past games
yeah
that were like my best friends, and
oh,
I
yeah
want them back so badly. So this is just becoming an Animal Crossing podcast, which I love. Like, we should just do an like spin-off books on
really
Animal
should
Crossing.
I'd be into that. I really love Animal Crossing.
But yeah, I agree. I'm loving the game so much. I am, like, genuinely impressed at every single turn. Like,
yeah,
every single thing I try to do, they have mastered it. Like, I'm like, okay, well, how are we gonna build this? And they're like, we have this system. And I'm like, you are geniuses. Like, crafting is so much fun. Gathering, every time that I get a new recipe, I freak out. I'm like, this is so exciting.
It is very fun.
Also, the miles system, I'm so down for.
I love it too. And also having a cell phone. I don't know.
Yeah, the cell phone is amazing. And getting to take photos, like, I take so long. I started an Animal Crossing Instagram at Lentil Island, if you want to follow it. But, like, it is because the photography in the game is so much fun to take photos that
really
I just
is
like have fun doing that. But also, yeah, the mile system, because one of the one, like, if I were to say that there was one problem with the franchise is that once you've done a couple of things, you kind of run out of things to do.
Mm-hmm.
You're sort of like, okay, well, I've sold all my fruit and I've caught a bunch of fish. What do I do now? The mile system gives you like straight objectives.
Exactly.
And you're
yeah
like, oh, okay, well, I'm kind of bored, so I'll try and do these. And you do them and suddenly you find yourself really entertained again. So I just think, oh, I just love it. I'm so proud of them. I think that they've listened to so much of what we kind of, what were friction points before, and
mm-hmm
completely fixed them.
Totally,
because
a lot of
yeah
people, what people love about Animal Crossing is, like, designing their town. Like, that's
yes
something that's huge in the community.
Yes.
And so being able to have a little bit more control over,
oh
like,
God,
where people's houses go and, like,
yeah,
it's just very satisfying.
No, exactly. Because, like, I'm, unlike Raylene, who is a responsible adult, I have put in so many hours into this game. And, like, I have two bedrooms now. I have, like I mentioned, a bunch of villagers and, like, a bridge, and I'm currently paying for a ramp so that I can go up and stuff.
Nice.
And, like, so my town is really growing, but this is what I mean. Like, by every step of the way, the customization is so well done. Because
mm-hmm
in the olden days, you never got to, like, pick where to put the ramps, and like you never got to move buildings and decide where the buildings were. Like that is so much fun, and I feel like they were holding on to that for a while, or maybe it was too hard to like develop as a game. Fair enough.
That makes sense.
But like now they're kind of like letting go of that and being like, no, Animal Crossing isn't about like them picking where the buildings are. It's about us just like interacting with our town and or in this case island and having fun building it. So I'm just having so much fun. All right, we should probably jump into these questions. But
I guess so. We could talk about Animal Crossing all day.
Yeah, exactly. So I found these questions. There's two sets of questions, and they're both called the Animal Crossing book tag, so I have no idea which one is the legitimate one. So we're just going to do both anyways, because they both have great questions.
Yeah.
So the first one comes from the blog bookishthingsandt.wordpress.com, and it says Animal Crossing book tag original. And it's from 2017, so there's going to be one little thing that we're going to have to change here, but it'll be really fun. All right, Raylene, you start us off. The first question is Animal Crossing on GameCube, a classic that you want to read.
First of all, can I just say that I love how this tag was made? I love that it's based on the different video games themselves.
I thought that was so clever.
So cute. And GameCube truly is a classic. It's what got me into Animal Crossing. My brother and I used to play it so, so much. And so,
Me and my brother. We live parallel lives. Yeah, we kind of do. Like, we were born, I don't know if people know this, me and Raylene were born in the same year, and then our brothers were born in the same year. Mm-hmm. So we kind of are living parallel lives.
We're basically the same. Well, anyways, my answer to this question, I have lots of classics I want to read, but the one that's on my TBR right now that I'm most excited about is Franny and Zoe by J.D. Salinger.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. This one has just been like on my radar for a long time.
Yeah.
Over the summer, I bought a really beautiful copy of it, which obviously makes me want to read it more. Yep. So I'm just really, really excited to read that. I'm hoping to read it by this summer because it feels like a summer read, even though I actually don't know what it's about, but I'm just really excited.
I think I know what you mean, though. I would also, even though I haven't read it, I would put it as a kind of a summery springtime read.
I don't know. But yeah.
That's a good one. I haven't read that either, so I think that that's really cool. Well, the book that I picked is The Bell Jar by Sylvia Plath.
Good.
So this is a book that I obviously haven't read yet, and I just feel weird for not having read it.
I felt like that for a long time before I read it.
Yeah, I just feel like I really need to read it. But one, it's not really a legitimate excuse, but one reason that I hadn't is that I really didn't like any of the editions that were out there in the world. None of them were really speaking to me. But then Faber and Faber, who, please publish me someday. they're like my favorite press. They're so cool. But yeah, they did this new edition that has this pink translucent font and like a blue spiral. I just think that it is so beautiful as a package. I love it. And so when I saw this, I instantly I definitely want to read this someday, so I'll buy it now. And then when I took it home, I started to read it, and I was like, Jesus Christ, this is incredible writing. And so like, even though I just bought it because I thought one day I want to read it, now it became like more immediate. I was like, I've got to read that soon.
Do it.
All right, our next question: Animal Crossing Wild World, your favorite second book in a series. I found this one really hard because I don't read that many series.
This one, I tried not to think about it too much because I've read lots of series, but I was like, you know what? The answer is Catching Fire.
Oh my God! Mine is Catching Fire,
it had to be! Catching Fire is the best sequel in the world. I'll say it right now. It's the best sequel that's ever been published.
I agree. I mean, I don't know if I agree with that, but I do agree that Catching Fire, is like a really good sequel. Like, it's as good as The Hunger Games, for sure. And I remember when I originally read it, I was obsessed with it. And I was like, this is better than The Hunger Games.
I think it's better too, 100%.
I haven't reread the series in a really long time, which is the only reason why I'm a little hesitant, because I'm like, I don't know, maybe it doesn't hold up.
Yeah.
But it was the second I read the question, the first book that came into my mind was Catching Fire.
Yeah, because Catching Fire is the one that I think about the most when I think about like which book is just like the second one shines. And I mean, it's the best one in the whole series, I would say, because Mockingjay is obviously the worst one. But
what happened? Mockingjay was such a disappointment.
I don't know. We've actually been rewatching the Hunger Games movies, and we haven't watched Mockingjay Part 2 yet, but obviously I've seen them. But I just was like, yeah, Hunger Games, amazing. Catching Fire, amazing. Mockingjay Part 1, oh, okay. And so I feel like it's going to be the same with the books again, because I'm going to reread them in the next month or so, I think.
Yeah.
That's my plan. Well, that's fun. I'm glad we picked the same one. I kind of thought that we might.
Yeah, I mean, it's a standout. It really did good. All right, next question is Animal Crossing City Folk. Your favorite book that is set in a large city. Which one did you pick?
This one I had a tough time with because there's so many. There's just so many books that take place in large cities that I couldn't decide. It's true. But I decided to go with one that is obvious, but that's The Goldfinch by Donna Tartt.
Oh, okay, yeah. That makes sense.
It's set in New York City, so... And it's, like, just such a great book, so I picked that one. Well,
hilariously, when we did an episode for Books Unbound where somebody asked us, like, can you give me a book set in New York City? You did that one, and I did an absolutely remarkable thing, and that is the book that I picked. But, like, I had to because it says a favorite book that is also set in a large city.
It has to be one of your favorites.
It's an absolutely remarkable thing. I love that book. It is set in a big city. I don't think that the big city that New York is necessarily, like, a huge part of the book.
No, definitely not.
But the fact that it's in a big city is an important part of the book because, mm-hmm. like, obviously the main character, first of all, sees this giant thing and her impulse is to, like, this giant robot. Her impulse is to think it's an art installation. I'm like, you would only think that if you lived in New York.
That's true.
Like, everywhere else you'd be like, there's something profoundly wrong here.
Yeah.
yeah, so I love that book. The next question is really good, but we're going to have to edit it. Because the next question is Animal Crossing New Leaf, the best new release you've read. And it was because that was the newest game at the time. Mm-hmm. So actually we're doing Animal Crossing New Horizons, the best release you've read recently, since it's the newest release.
Yes. Perfect.
Yes. What did you pick?
I picked a book that I think I mentioned in the first episode of our podcast. Oh. And that's how long it's been since I read a great new release. It was like 22 episodes ago. The Chestnut Man by Soren Sveistrup. I was looking through my Goodreads. I sorted it by release date and was looking to see what was like the last book I gave 5 stars.
I should do that. I'm going to look.
And I also gave Miracle Creek 5 stars, but I feel like I just wanted to talk about this one because it's
been a while.
More underrated and it's... I didn't expect to love it, which is why I think it was, like, such a surprise that it was, like, so good. Because I was shocked. It was so dark and twisted, and I'd never wanted to put it down, which was the same with Miracle Creek. So, I mean, I think both of those are kind of even for best new release. But, yeah, I haven't read many other new releases in general, and the ones I have read I haven't really liked. So, that's all I've got.
Yeah, I also had a similar thing. Looking through my books, I apparently don't read, this isn't a surprise, but I don't read books right when they come out because I'm a disaster. Uh-huh. And the ones that I have haven't been favorites. So, for mm-hmm. example, On Earth We're Briefly Gorgeous, that mm-hmm. came out pretty recently, and I didn't, like love that.
Nope.
The other one The Testaments by Margaret Atwood. I liked it, but I didn't love it. So I was sort of like, okay, what is it? And honestly, I just mentioned this on the podcast too, but it's Albatross by Terry Fallis.
Oh, that's perfect.
So this one actually came out in August, so, like... 6 months ago, and I'm gonna count that as, well, that's more than 6 months, whatever, I'm gonna count that.
Close enough.
I'm gonna count that as a new release. It's not yet a year old. And I loved that book. I keep thinking about it, which to me is like the sign that it's gonna be like it is a new favorite, mm-hmm. because I can't stop thinking about it, and I'm sort of like, oh, so good. Oh my god, I forgot to give you a huge update. I forgot to tell you something very important.
Oh my god,
I bought a fountain pen. I am
so
scared that because of coronavirus I will not get it anytime soon, but fingers crossed. It is coming. It was shipped, so I have the shipping receipt. But yeah, I bought a fountain pen and I bought purple ink to put in it, and I'm so excited to get it.
I love that.
Oh, I can't wait. So that's very cool. So we're at the end of the section where this tag did the video games, but I wanted to add in a thing to just ask you, like, what was your favorite and least favorite ever Animal Crossing video game?
Favorite? I mean, I'm going to disregard the newest game because I haven't played it enough to really call it a favorite, although I feel like it could be.
Yeah.
But GameCube has got to be my favorite because it's the mm-hmm. one that like I played the most.
Yeah.
It's the one that I kept going back to. I find with New Leaf, which is my second most played game, I forget about it a lot and just forget to play it. Yeah. Whereas with GameCube, I was constantly thinking about it. Mm. So I feel like that one's got to be my favorite. Also, I just love that everything that was meant to be in the game was there from the beginning, like the police station and all, like the museum was there. I don't know. I feel like in New Leaf, there was a lot of things that you have to like work hard to unlock. Yeah. And that's like good. It's good to have a goal. But I really like the simplicity of GameCube. It's just like everything's here. And you could just go up to people and be like, hey, want me to do something for you? And they'd be like, yeah, okay, here you go.
Yeah.
Like there was a lot more interacting with the villagers. Like I got to know the villagers better than I do with any other game. Least favorite would probably have to be a tie for Wild World and City Folk, because I really did not get into those at all.
Yeah.
Like at all. I don't even remember them.
I don't even remember if I played Wild World.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm confused about what they are, because I don't remember if I've played them. I either played them very little or not at all.
Yeah, my favorite would... I honestly do think it's going to become New Horizons.
Yeah.
Because it's taking everything that I love about this game and making it perfect. Mm-hmm. Making it beautiful.
No, I definitely agree with that.
Making it easy, making it fun, and, like, not corrupting any of the things that I really like. Mm-hmm. But then at the same... Yeah, I'm looking at images of Wild World. I don't think I played Wild World, because it was on DS.
Yeah, I think I might have played it for, like, 10 minutes and was like, nope!
I honestly, I bet you I just didn't even know it existed because I was a kid. But the GameCube one to me is like, other than the New Horizons one, it's the GameCube is just such a classic. And like you, I was just so addicted to it and I loved it so much. And then my least favorite, honestly, is probably City Folk. Just because I didn't think that the city concept worked very well.
Yeah, that's not Animal Crossing.
Yeah, it's not exactly. It's not really Animal Crossing. And it was like, you had to cross the train tracks to get over there. And it took so long to load. And then once you were in the city, you didn't actually have that much you could do. And then you would like go back. And I just didn't think it worked that well. It felt really disconnected and separate. So I don't, that one. New Leaf does have a pretty close part, like, it's close to my heart just because I played it so fucking much. Mm-hmm.
I would bring my DS to work and play it on my lunch break every single day. Like that
exactly
is what happened.
I bought a Nintendo 3DS just so that I could play that game. And then I bought the limited edition Zelda Gold one, even though I've never played liked Zelda. I like it. I just don't really, it was never part of my childhood. Yeah. But like I just loved it. It was gold and it was just like my gold machine for playing Animal Crossing.
Oh yeah. Mine has the retro controller on it.
Oh, classic.
It's very cool. I love my DS. It's awesome.
All right, so we are now going to hop over to the other questions that I found on YouTube. This is from the channel Becca with a Book. And so, yeah, she just had kind of a different set of questions that we thought were fun. So, prompts. Number one, Tom Nook, name an author who takes all of your money. I love that.
Yeah.
What did you pick?
These prompts are so funny. For this one, I could have picked a lot of authors, but I decided to pick what I think is the most truthful to me in this moment, and that is Stephen King. Because I've been buying all of his new hardcovers as they come out now. Like, I haven't read all of his backlist, but I'm currently at a point where all of his new books sound really great to me. So I'm just like, I have to buy it right when it comes out. So I spend $40 every year on Stephen King alone. That's got to be the most of any author right now.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. I mean, an author who takes all of your money, I guess if we're going to really zoom out, it's probably J.K. Rowling because of all the Harry Potter crap that I buy.
me too.
But if we just mean books, it's probably George Orwell because anything that's George Orwell related, I want to get. And so even though he doesn't come out with new books, obviously, like they put out the graphic novel version, so I buy that, and they put out like a beautiful new version of his essays, so I buy that. So, or maybe Frida Kahlo, she's not an author, but
yeah, maybe F. Scott Fitzgerald is taking all my money. I'll never stop buying copies of The Great Gatsby if they get new editions.
Question number two, Mayor Tortimer, name a book you kept dozing off while reading. Good one.
This is a good one. I love this. I picked Inspection by Josh Malerman. This was his book that came out last year, I think, or the year before. And he's the guy who wrote Bird Box, which I love. Yeah. So I was like, I've got to read everything he's written now. And then Inspection was so, so boring. Because the first, like, actually most of the book, I would say like 3/4 of the book, you're left not knowing what's going on. Like, yeah, they just kind of drop you in. And then you never get answers until, like, the last 50 pages. And it's so annoying. And so I just kept, like, not actually dozing off, but basically, you know? Like, yeah, I would read a paragraph and be like, okay, did I even listen to what I just read? Like, I need to try again. And so it took me so long to read that book just because I kept getting so bored. Like, every single page, I just couldn't, like, I had such a hard time dragging myself through that.
Goddamn.
Yeah.
Well, I've got a similar-ish type thing. The book that I've picked is Daniel Deronda by George Eliot. Dang. I hate this book. So I never talk about disliking books anymore, just because I don't find that a very productive habit, and I just feel like it does more harm than it does good, because I'm like, those authors work really hard, and they did so much work to put this book out, and I don't want to insult anyone or hurt any feelings. Also, like, a book that I hate, lots of people love, right? But I'm totally okay doing that with classic authors who are very dead, and George Eliot, Daniel Deronda is a disaster. I hate this stupid book. It was the last book that I read that I, like, truly despised. And the only reason that I read as much as I did, and I did not read the whole thing, was because it was for a master's class, and I kind of had to. But, wow, I hate this stupid book. And I could not focus on it. I couldn't. I would read, like, 6 pages, and I'd be like, I don't even know what I read. I was like, I couldn't focus on it. I just hated the writing and the characters and the story, and it all just felt so dumb. Ugh! I hate this stupid book, so...
Well, I have a question for you. Why do you still own it?
I know, right? I own it because even though I hate it, it brings back fond memories of how much I hated it.
I kept the Marbury lens for a long time because of that same reason.
Yeah, exactly. I'm kind of like, I don't know, I just have weird memories with it.
That's funny.
Maybe one day I'll finally let it go, but for now it is my little evil companion. The next question is, Gyroid, name your favorite non-human character. I found this one a little tricky, but...
This one, it could have been tricky, but I just decided to go with Remus Lupin.
Nice, okay, cool.
Because he's my man. He's still, like, a person. So I thought if that was bending the rules too much, then I pick Manchi from The Knife of Never Letting Go. He's a dog. But Remus Lupin, I mean, they're both doggy boys, but I love Remus Lupin so much I just called him a doggy boy. What the hell? You know what's funny, this actually relates back to Animal Crossing a little bit,
because
I restarted my town in New Leaf a little while ago because I was just bored with my game, and two of the villagers that I had were Biscuit and I can't remember the other guy's name, but he was a wolf. And Biscuit is a dog. And they were my two favorite people in my town. And at one point, I was talking to my friend who also loves Animal Crossing. And I was like, because they kept talking to me. Like, they always wanted to hang out. And they were inviting me to their house and stuff. Amazing. And I was like, Julia, these doggies just love me so much. She was like, did you just call him a doggy? He's a wolf.
So... Doggy boys!
My doggy boys! Oh, heck, that's weird. Let's move on.
Well, the non-human character that I picked is not a doggy boy. He's a ghost. It is Wendell in Sheets.
Oh, perfect.
He is so good. I guess he was a human at one point, but he's a ghost now.
He's a ghost now.
So, yeah, I just think he is so lovable and sweet and cute and friendly and fun. And I wish that I knew him. Like, I wish he was my friend. So I loved him. Definitely go read Sheets by Brenna Thumler. It's so good. Okay, the next one is I Got Stung by a Bee. Name a bad book. And I picked Daniel Deronda again. Hate that stupid book.
Yeah, this one, I kind of had fun picking this one because I just went through my 1-star books and I was like, which one do I think is genuinely a bad book and not just a book that I disliked?
Yeah.
And I decided to pick Ugly Love by Colleen Hoover. This is the only Colleen Hoover book I've ever read, and it's the only one I will ever read because it was just so gross. Like, oh, it's horrible because I've heard that she writes like this in a lot of her books, so it's kind of a trend, but her relationships are just so toxic, and she just, like, doesn't seem to have a problem with it. Like, the way she writes it is just like, this is fine, this is cool, this is just what's going on. And also the way this book was written was so stupid, because it goes back and forth between two different characters' perspectives, but the guy character, his perspective is written like in verse, but it's like pretentious and not well done that it, like, just makes it so stupid.
Sounds cringy.
Yeah, that is one of my most hated books of all time. I wrote a really big review for it on Goodreads, so if you want to know more, feel free to check that out. I was ranting. I was ranting a lot.
Raylene had a lot to say.
Yeah, it was funny because I was reading that book in the bathtub, and I finished reading it, and I, like, sat in the bathtub while it was getting cold typing up this review on my phone, because I just had to get my feelings out.
Oh my god, that's so funny. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I was just going to do Daniel Durande again, because I just hate that book. But the interesting thing about Colleen Hoover is that, like, so many of my friends love Colleen Hoover and, like, read all of her books.
Yeah.
And I have never read one of her books because the covers don't call to me and the plot synopses never have called to me.
You would hate them. Like, I'm just telling you.
I think I would dislike them,
You would not enjoy her. At all.
I have no experience or opinion, I guess. Mm. Okay, the next one is Blathers. Speaking of which, do you have the museum in your New Horizons yet?
Oh, yeah, I got him on the first day. Like, I caught so many fish and so many bugs. I had them piled up, like, on the beach.
Yeah.
Waiting for him. And then they were like, wow, I can't believe we got enough donations on our very first day. And so he showed up. But then I also got the museum built, like, the next day. So
isn't it so beautiful?
It's actually kind of scary how beautiful it is.
I actually felt emotional my first day walking through it.
Yeah.
Like, I was just like, this is stupendous. Like,
yeah, I spent some time, like, I actually kind of got lost in it because it's so big.
Yeah, I also kind of got lost once.
It's crazy. I know when I was talking to Blathers and he was like, this museum is, like, the most amazing thing. You will not believe your eyes. I was like, you're just joking around, Blathers. There's no way the museum is that good. And then I started walking through it and I was like, oh, holy shit. This is amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing. And it also really, like, I already love donating to the museum, but it makes me want to donate even more just because I'm like, I want to make it beautiful and I want to see all the fish in their tanks and the butterflies in the garden.
Absolutely. I'm donating every single thing as usual.
Yep. I've caught a couple of things where I'm like, God, I don't want to donate this because I would sell it for like 9,000 bells, but I'm like, I'm a good citizen.
I caught a koi fish and I wanted to keep it in my house, but I donated it to
him. That's so cool. I have not caught a koi fish. I caught one of those oar fish.
Oh.
Do you know? It's really, really freaking huge, ugly beast. And I also caught a tarantula.
Oh, me too. I hate that guy.
Oh, man. They got me twice. I will admit to that.
I love that they knock you out.
Yeah, it's so funny. But there's no consequence. It's like I saw some people comparing Stardew Valley and Animal Crossing on Twitter, and it really made me laugh. Because they're like, in Stardew Valley, if you get knocked out, I forget what the tweet I saw was, but I myself was just thinking, like, if you get knocked out in Stardew Valley, you, like, lose a lot of money and stuff and things. And in Animal Crossing, you just, like, wake up in your house and you're like, all right,
everything's fine.
Off I go. But the question is, Blathers, name a book that kept you up all night.
Okay, this one was fun. I decided to go with the book, like, the first book that I remember keeping me up all night long, and that was Looking for Alaska. I first read it, I started it in the evening, and I was in school. I was like in grade 10 or 11, and I stayed up until 4 in the morning reading this book.
God.
I got like 2 hours of sleep because I was like, I know that this is a bad idea, but I can't stop reading. And so I read the whole thing in one night, and so that I felt like was the best answer for this question.
I love that answer. Well, if I had been doing it like that, I probably would have picked like We Were Liars by E. Lockhart. That was the book I remember, like, I stayed up till like 2 or 3 a.m. finishing it, and I then like messaged all my friends literally crying, like actually crying, because it had moved me so much. But the book that I picked was actually okay, it's a weird pick. It's called Next Year for Sure by Zoe Leigh Peterson. This is a book that I'm currently reading, but I started it last night, and I was up till 1:30 a.m. reading it, which I didn't finish it by any means. I got to, like, page 80, but it's because I started it really late, right? Yeah. But I started reading it, and I didn't want to put it down. I was like, this is so good, and, like, as an old woman, staying up till 1:30 is now, like, a huge deal.
Yeah, that's pretty late for me.
Yeah, exactly. And so I don't know if I'm going to love this book in the end or anything, because I really, like I said, I'm only, like, a quarter of the way in. But so far, I'm really enjoying it. It's so stressful because it's about this couple. Were you there when I bought this book?
No, but you brought it to my house during the reading rush because you were thinking of maybe reading it. So I recognized it when you pulled it.
That's funny. Okay. So this is a book about... It's about a couple who have been together for like, oh, it says 9 years. After 9 years together, Catherine and Chris have the sort of relationship most would envy. And it talks about how great they are. But then it says, when Chris tells Catherine about his attraction to Emily, a vivacious young woman he sees often at the laundromat, Catherine encourages him to ask her out on a date, certain that her bond with Chris is strong enough to weather whatever may come. As Catherine and Chris stumble into polyamory, and then it goes on. Yeah. So it's just like, I have never read a book from that perspective. As a monogamous person, I find it really stressful.
Yeah, that sounds like, kind of terrifying. God. I'm intrigued, though. Like, that sounds really interesting.
Yeah, it's really stressful because he's like totally, he's got this huge crush on this woman named Emily, and Catherine's trying to be very like open-minded, and they like, they throughout the relationship, they've always been very open with each other in talking about like whatever crushes they have. Mm-hmm. And so she'll be like, oh, I've got a crush on this guy at my work or whatever. And they kind of are like really open about it, which is cool. But then this one time, it's kind of become really big crush for Chris. Mm-hmm. And she's like, yeah, just go for it. And what just happened, it was so awkward. Emily came over to their house because they were going to go on a date together. And Catherine was there. And Emily was like, you should come. And she was like, I don't know. And Chris was like, no, yeah, that would be great. And Catherine ends up going sort of on this date with them. And it was so awkward.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Anyway, I was really into it. And I was up, not all night, but later than usual.
But that's so fun. And actually, that kind of just got me thinking. I love starting a new book at nighttime. Like, mm-hmm. I could see why some people be like, I don't want to do that. Because you can only read so many pages before you have to go to sleep. But I kind of love that. Just being like, try something new and then fall asleep.
Yeah, and then, because then today I woke up and I was like, I can't wait to read.
Yeah, like, because then when you wake up, you're already into the book rather than just starting it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I really like that. I don't know why.
Well, the next question is, Able Sisters, name a book with the best book design. Hard question.
Yeah, this one was really tough because there's lots of books that have, like, very specific design, like, say, House of Leaves or something like that. But yeah. I didn't pick that, obviously, because I hate that book, but I decided to go with the 30th anniversary edition of The Princess Bride.
Oh, wow.
It's a deluxe edition, and what I love about the design of this book is that it's designed to look like it's kind of an old book with, like, gold on the cover, and it's got illustrations, it's got a map on the end papers, which I'm a sucker for. I love pretty end papers, and it's got illustrations, and, like, the paper is kind of like a parchment. Like, it's kind of meant to look old, even though obviously it's not. And I just really love that. That there's something about that is so fun. Next time I read this book, I'm definitely going to read this edition. Because
that's so cool.
It's just like, and the pages are so big, so it feels like an old storybook. And I just really like that.
Yeah, it looks like the beginning of a fairy tale. Like, exactly. When they open a book and it's like, now we're going to tell Cinderella.
Exactly. Like, I love the look of old books without them actually being old, because they fall apart and don't hold together as well when they're actually old. But I like the look of an old book, so.
Well, the one that I picked is IQ 84, the 3-volume edition.
Oh, yeah.
just because it is, I just think that it is such a beautiful and well done package. So it's obviously such a big book, and I think the decision to cut it in three and do three volumes makes so much sense.
Well, I think it was also originally three books.
Yes, yeah. It totally was. You're
so
right.
I'm glad
in
they
Japan,
did that too.
Yeah, in Japan it was originally three books, but then they made like the big bind up version. Mm-hmm. But then they decided to do the separate version, and I'm so glad they did, just because it's so much easier to read. But also they then had like this big decision of what to do to make it cool, and mm-hmm. they just, whatever they did, it looks so good.
I agree. I have the same one, so
yeah, it's so beautiful. And it also comes in like a sleeve, and the sleeve is clear plastic with like translucent letters on it, and it just, it's overall so beautiful, and I love looking at it. So I love that one.
I agree.
Number seven, name a Isabel, name a book that lifts your spirits and makes you feel happy.
For this one, I picked an author, any of his books. Okay. Make me happy. And that is Shel Silverstein.
Hmm.
So, but specifically The Sidewalk Ends or A Light in the Attic, because yeah. those ones make me really happy because they make me feel nostalgic, because I used to read them in elementary school. My teacher used to like just hand out his books and be like, pick a poem and then you and your friends can go perform it in front of the class.
Oh,
and so
cute.
It just has like, I have really fond memories attached to his books.
Yeah.
And the poems are so great and the illustrations are so weird, but attached to my childhood memories and stuff. So any of his books just really lift my spirits and make me happy.
Yeah.
Except for The Giving Tree. That one's sad.
Well, the book that I picked is 15 by Beverly Cleary. I love this book. I got it in a really funny way. My parents were at a furniture store, and it was a prop book on a shelf that, oh. you know, that they were selling. And it's an old hardcover. This book was published in in 56.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have its dust jacket anymore. I pulled it off the shelf and I started to read it. And I was enjoying the story so much. And then my parents went to check out. And I was like, oh no, does this mean that I can't finish the book? And so my dad asked the sales guy. He was like, can my daughter please take the book home? Because she's really enjoying it. And he was like, yeah, sure, no worries.
Aww.
So I just got to take the book home. So I feel like it's a cool way that I got the book. But also,
cool.
it's just, it's a story about a girl who's 15 in the 50s. And it's just about, like, how she gets her first boyfriend. And that's it. That's, like, the whole story. It starts when she's babysitting and they go on a date. And I think I've told you about this book before, but they, like, one of the biggest climax moment is sort of, like, they go on a date into town and they go to Chinatown. And she's never had Asian or Chinese food before. Mm-hmm. And so she's really scared and she doesn't eat anything. And it's just, like, it's just so cute. In the end, he was like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know. Let's go to a good old-fashioned diner. And I'm like, hell yeah.
That's so cute.
So
it's funny,
it's
I never
sweet.
Read that book because I read so much Beverly Cleary as a kid.
That's so funny because I never read anything by her. I just read this one. But I obviously know that she had those, like, Ramona books or whatever.
Yeah, and Mitch and Amy. That was great.
Yeah. Well, the last question is, KK Slider, name a side character who became one of your favorites. Who'd you pick?
This one took me a long time to figure
out. Yeah, I don't know if I am happy with my answer, but
right?
go on.
Well, because originally I almost picked a couple of books where, like, the main character's best friend or something was my favorite, but I'm like, that's not really a side character. Like, they're, you know, just, like, adjacent to the main character. So I decided to pick such a random character that I love so much, and that is from a Game of Thrones.
Oh.
My favorite character from Game of Thrones is Podrick.
Podrick, that is the perfect answer to this question. That is exactly,
like,
the kind of side character
he's such a
we're
weird side
about.
Character. Well, because I got thinking about it. One of my friends is obsessed with, like, every single side character in, like, big fantasy series. She never loves the main characters. She always loves some weird random side character. And so when
right.
I started thinking about it like that, I was like, oh my god, Pod, like, he's my favorite, and he's
that's
such
so
a weird
funny.
Side character. So yeah. There you have it.
Yeah, that's a perfect answer and puts my answer to shame because
I'm so sorry.
I really couldn't think of a good answer for this. I was like, I can't remember the side characters. So I actually picked Wendell from Sheets, and he's kind of a main character, sort of. Like,
yeah.
he's just, like, he's sort of a side character to Brennan, or not Brennan, as if Brennan's the main character, to the girl in the books, to her plot line.
Mm-hmm.
But I really loved Wendell, and I was like, I want him to be, like, a sidekick in my life. He's kind of like a sidekick. He's got that vibe.
I see. Yeah.
But he is kind of a main character, but I just couldn't think of something better.
You know what? That's okay.
Thanks, man. This was so much fun. We really hope that you guys enjoyed this special bonus random episode. If you are playing Animal Crossing, we hope that you're having a heck of a time. And that's it. We will talk to you guys with a normal episode very soon. Bye.
Bye.